This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار الحمد لله الحمد لله we are back. I don't know when was the last time we had a lesson, but alhamdulillah, the point is we come back and this is not in hand. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you success in life. So inshallah, as I said, we will keep on going ala mahal with this book until we see the last part of it, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed that we will live to see the last part of it. In this place it will be very difficult. But inshallah, amaluna ala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to see the last part of it. It will be a great blessing and a pleasure to see the moment that we can reach the completion of this mission, inshallah. As usual, I think it will be good and of importance to remind myself and my brothers about principles to be utilized when seeking the knowledge of Islam. It is the best attitude and the best manner and the best thing you do to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seeking knowledge. Al-ilmu qabla al-qawlu wal-amal. It comes before everything. And the scholars mentioned that knowledge amongst all of the sunan that you do to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best seeking the knowledge. Far greater than even jihad according to many, many scholars. And if you look at Islam is based on knowledge, because whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks you to do, you have to know exactly and precisely how to do it. This is what knowledge is all about. And the more you know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I just want you to feel the importance and also to get ready for that. Knowledge, especially Islamic knowledge, does not give you a bit of it, unless if you give it all of you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لِيَنْفِرُوا كَافَّ فَلَوْلَا نَفَرَ مِنْ كُلِّ فِرْقَةٍ مِّنْهُمْ طَائِفَةٌ لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ وَلِيُنْذِرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ إِذَا رَجَعُوا إِلَيْهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَحْذَرُونَ. These are the people who are going for jihad. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ذِرْوَةُ سَنَامِ الْإِسْلَامِ الْجِهَادُ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. The peak of Islam, the highest part of Islam is jihad. Because this is the defense system that you preserve the deen with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلْنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعْهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْمِيزَانَ لِيَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ وَأَنزَلْنَا الْحَدِيدِ. Peaceful manners are the best approach in everything. But sometimes you need harshness. That's why we have the sultan, we have the leaders, we have the authority to force the criminals to bow for the Sharia, to bring that which bring good to the community. So these are the people who are participating in this. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it is inappropriate and acceptable Islamically for everyone to this path, to move, to depart with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam participating in jihad. There has to be a group of people who will go and staff themselves with the knowledge and convey the message properly to others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. The real person who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala amongst the slaves of Allah are the scholars. هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. How can you compare that which has a knowledge to that which doesn't have anything. So there is no room of comparison between a knowledgeable person and somebody who is otherwise. And when you look at the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, you'll find the same application also. The same recommendation, the same focus, the same emphasis on the importance of the knowledge. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Man salaka tariqan yaltamisu fihi ilman sahhala Allahu lahu bihi tariqan ilal jannah." When you stand up, you go out of your house looking for the knowledge, Allah, it's like you're walking on the path of the Jannah. And Allah will make paradise easy for you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in many places, بَلِّهُ عَنِي وَلَوْ آيَةٌ. In many places the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that. So I'll conclude with this statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which says, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants goods for a person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him his blessings and a greater portion of knowledge in Islam. It's a sign of love. If Allah loves you, you will be among those people who know. You will be among those knowledgeable people. You will be among the scholars who are at least students of knowledge. One of the scholars said, this shows that if a person is not among the students of knowledge, A'udhu billah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not want good for this person. It's a loss not to be among those students or not to be among the scholars. الدنيا ملعونة كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وملعون ما فيها إلا ذكر الله وما عليه. Everything in this life is cursed except the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and whatsoever is connected to it. أو عالم ومتعلم, or a student of knowledge, or a knowledgeable person, or a student of knowledge. These are the four entities that are not cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, a Muslim shouldn't stay away from one of them. If you are not among these, make sure that you are among the other group. So the best party you should join, these are the parties of the scholars. The scholars, they are warathatul anbiya. They are the inheritance and the heirs of the prophets. And you know the prophets of Allah, they do not leave dirham wala dinar. What do they leave for the people? Knowledge. So knowledge is the thing that leads a person to success. As one of the poets says, Al-ilmu yarfa'u baytan la asasa lahu wal-jahlu yahdimu baytan izzi wal-karami. He says knowledge raises up and elevates the ranking of a people who have no foundation in society. They are the weak in society. Nobody pays attention to them. But if you have one of them who is going to get the knowledge, this house will be elevated, will be raised up by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you will see the knowledge bringing down, al-jahl, bringing down the house of what? Of honor and nobility. When they are juhal, they will be useless in the community. I remember Harun al-Rashid, they said one of the great scholars of Islam gets into Al-Raqqa, or one of the cities that is under the control of the Muslims. So the Khalifa was there. So he was there in the balcony up there. So he saw the Sheikh coming, and thousands of people in the community, they are coming to the Sheikh. These are great. I guess Ibn Mubarak was somebody like that. I mean, one of the scholars visit the city, and almost everyone, the whole city comes out. So he was watching from far distance, from up there. So his slave in the house, she said, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen," or whatever she called him. She said, "Who is this?" He said, "This is so-and-so-and-so, one of the scholars of Islam. He visited us." You know what she said in the comment? She said, "To be honest with you, this is the real kingdom, not what you're in." Because he never go to a place and people come like that. Because if you are going to see the kingdom, look at, this is the real nobility and kingdom, not what you have. So this is what knowledge does. It brings you up in the eyes of the people, and in the hereafter also you will be among the best. So I really urge you, as I always do, to open your eyes and to get ready to learn to do this job for the Ummah of Islam. We really need somebody to stand as Murabit, somebody who can defend the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with hujjatul bayan. Most of the things that we do nowadays, I think I'm not exaggerating if I say one of the fierce enemy that we are having nowadays is the enemy within ourselves, we the Muslims. You have those people who claim to be Muslims, but they criticize Islam from inside. Nothing can stop them except knowledge, student of knowledge. They bring their shubuhat to deceive the believers, and this is actually the idea, to make sure that they put doubt in you. So I have a student of, if I have a student of knowledge who can stand and dismantle every single thing they are bringing, it will be so excellent. Because wallahi, in that which is given to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a solution for everything. Whatsoever shubha somebody brings to fight Islam, there is an answer for that in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَا يَأْتُونَكَ بِمَثَلِ إِلَّا جِئْنَاكَ بِالْحَقِّ وَأَحْسَنْ تَفْسِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. But books cannot do that. Go and put a person who is a deviated person in the library. Maktabat al-Zahiriyah, one of the biggest makatib that ever exist. Get it? Go and put somebody who is in the wrong way in that place and come and pick him up after 1 year. He will never change. He might get confused more. But one student of knowledge can do the job for you. So it's the greatest job. It used to be like that and it remains like this and it will remain like this until the day of judgment. Knowledge is the greatest thing you do to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I urge you to wake up and to be patient. Knowledge needs a lot for you to get little. So I give you certain principles that I wish you guys will open your heart for them to get inside. There are conditions that you have to fulfill when you are seeking knowledge. The first one is ikhlas. You have to do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by the way, my brothers and sisters, ikhlas is the only tool that can help you to keep that which you memorize. Whatsoever you do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means, I'm telling you, it won't be easy for it to go away from you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep it for you. So it's the most powerful tool that you can utilize in order to keep that which you are memorizing. Allah will ease your affairs, whereas others found it very difficult for them to make it, but yours will be easy. Ikhlas, meaning you are doing it not for dunya, you are doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you do it for the dunya, it won't benefit you. It will be wabal, alaik. It will be one of the reasons why you will fail in this life, and then the hereafter you receive the worst. You can see the impact of riya and seeking the knowledge for the sake of somebody else in the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal Mu'awiyah ibn Abi Sufyan or Abu Huraira, the one that talks about the first group of people that Allah SWT is going to take to help. أَوَّلُ ثَلَاثَةٍ تُسَعَّرُ بِهِمْ نَارُ جَهَنَّمْ مَنْ هُمْ Who are they? And these are a scholar, a reciter, and a rich person, and a mujahid. These are the people that are going to be taken to help first before everyone. You can imagine all of them, they are so noble in Islam. This one is doing jihad, this one is spreading the knowledge, this one is doing this, but why they go to hell first? My brothers and sisters, this is the evil consequence of doing things not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring a knowledgeable person and remind him about his blessings upon him, about the knowledge, how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him of his blessings of this knowledge. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him, what did you do with what I gave you? He says, Ya Allah, qara'tu fika al-Qur'ana wa qara'atuhu. He says, Ya Allah, I recited Qur'an for your sake and I read Qur'an to the people, I taught people your book. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, kathabt wa taqulu al-malaikatu kathabt. Allah will say to him, you are lying. And the angels also will tell him, you are lying. You get it? إِنَّمَا قَرَأْتَ لِيُقَالَ قَالَ You read Qur'an so that somebody will say, you are a nice and excellent reciter. You are teaching knowledge, you are talking so that people will say, oh my, mashallah, what a knowledgeable person is this. وَقَدْ قِيلْ People have already said that. ثُمَّ يُؤْمَرُ بِهِ فَيُسْحَبُ عَلَى وَجِّهِ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمَ And then Allah SWT will ask the angel to take him to hellfire. So, it's a great responsibility and a great moment for a person to seek the knowledge, not for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, أَخْلِسُوا نِيَتَكُمْ لِلَّهِ Do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember that Allah SWT is going to call you back and ask you about the knowledge He granted to you. How did you learn it? And what did you do with it? So alhamdulillah, you can fix your niyyah, your intention at any moment. You will never be late in the eyes of Allah SWT. So the first thing is ikhlas. The second thing, get a sheikh, somebody to teach you. Because without sheikh, you will not move. You need somebody to guide you. You really need somebody to guide you, to teach you how to learn. You learn from his samt, from his adab, from the way he does things, from the way he understands things. You need it. Those scholars of Islam, they are all like that. I remember the Naqalu and Sheikh Nasir. He was saying the difference between us and Sheikh al-Islam bin Taymiyyah, and the Sheikh al-Islam bin Taymiyyah Rabbahu al-Ulama. Sheikh al-Islam bin Taymiyyah, who gave the tarbiyah to him? Scholars. Came like that. So he was saying, but in our case, scholars, the books completed. Though they get, because for them even getting book is not easy. But you hear one of them has 1,000 sheikh, 100 sheikh, 1,000 sheikh. They go everywhere looking for the shuikh. And nowadays you can find somebody who will tell you, no, we can do it without the scholars, we can get it. That's why the mistakes are a lot. And you always go into the wrong direction. Because there are things which you need somebody to explain it to you, even if they are written in the book. So having a sheikh in learning is necessary. You must, if you really want to succeed in knowledge, you must have a sheikh. Otherwise your knowledge will be doubtful. Doubtful. Will never be a certainty at all. Likewise, one of the adab you have to maintain is the sabr, patience. Is the key to succeed in everything. You have a sheikh, you're going to travel, you're going to go to place. Sometimes you come to the class, the dars is not that interesting, and all these things that we have nowadays, which the past did not have it. They go and submit to their scholars and take everything from them. And that's the attitude from the knowledge. They don't give suggestion to their scholars about what they do. Now we do. Almost everywhere you go, if the lesson is not interesting, we don't go, right? So you'll be patient with the scholars and patient with the learning also. Revising books is not easy. You get it, going to the scholars, chasing them wherever they are is not easy. Being patient with the sheikh also is not easy. Allah, sometimes you get the attitude of the scholars, you will be surprised. Why did you do that? We are told that some of them used to have dogs in their house to chase away the student of knowledge. You know that? There was a great muhaddith. A'mash used to have a dog in his house. One of the greatest scholars in hadith is Imam al-A'mash. Get the idea? But he used to be very harsh with the student. Not easy for you to get hadith from him. Why are they doing that? To deprive people from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? No, la wallah. But to teach student also adab, and to let them understand the benefit and the importance of the thing. Because whatsoever you fight for you to get it, you value it so much. The poet says, وَمَنْ مَلَكَ الْبِلَادَ بِغَيْرِ حَرْبٍ أَهَانَ عَلَيْهِ تَسْلِيمُ الْبِلَادِ وَمَنْ مَلَكَ الْبِلَادَ بِغَيْرِ حَرْبٍ أَهَانَ عَلَيْهِ تَسْلِيمُ الْبِلَادِ If you have defeated a people without fighting, you go to fight a people to take their land, you don't fight them. When you reach the place, they just say, no need to fight, just take it, free of charge. If later on, somebody who is having a greater power than you comes and tells you, give the country to me, what would you say? You have to fight? No. Because you got it easily, you're going to tell him, okay, take it. But if let's say, at the first time you fought for you to get it, you lost a lot of armies from your side. At the end of the day, after years of battles, you got it. If an army came which is stronger than you and decided to take it, would you give it to him? Never. He has to fight also to get it in the way you got it. Knowledge is always like that. Whatsoever you get based on hardship, most likely will never go away from you. Whatsoever comes easily, most likely it will go out also easily. That's why we have to be very, very, very careful with this. Patience with the sheikh is necessary. you're patient with his khutat, you're patient with his attitude and his manners. Wallahi, we met scholars of this contemporary era, they're very, very harsh. If we left them, we will lose. We will lose it. Sometimes you will see a person, a very big person in the world in terms of knowledge. You get it? But then, very harsh in terms of manners. He has good manners, but in terms of dealing with students, very harsh. Sometimes you don't understand. But the idea is, you shouldn't let shaitan come inside. Otherwise, he will deprive you from learning. You're going to stay with him temporarily, right? So patience is needed. Respect your sheikh and then be patient with him. This is what they mention as a key to succeed in learning. And the last two things after the patience is the, what I call it, a tadarruj, gradual process in learning. A tadarruj, taking things gradually. You have a lot of knowledges that you want to master. You want to be an expert in them. But you have to go slowly, slowly. One after another if you want to succeed. One after another if you really want to succeed. You get it? One of our scholars recited a bait for us, which I still remember. He says, وَفِي تَرَادُفِ الْعُلُومِ الْمَنْعُ جَاءٍ تَوْأَمَانِ اسْتَبَقَى لَمْ يَخْرُجَ وَفِي تَرَادُفِ الْعُلُومِ الْمَنْعُ جَاءٍ تَوْأَمَانِ اسْتَبَقَى لَمْ يَخْرُجَ. Taradif al-ulum is to keep on putting knowledge after another. You get it at once. That's wrong. He said the scholars advise the student not to do that. خُذْ مِن كُلِّ عِلْمٍ حَتَّى تُتْقِنَهُ ثُمَّ تَنْتَقِلُ إِلَىٰ غَيْرِهِ. Take every knowledge until you become expert, then move to the second one. Is that clear? This one, your sheikh should guide you to this, how to do it. There are knowledges which you can go and take this one this moment and the other one and the other one, but then at the end of the day you have to come and revise them separately. Fix this first and then go to the other one. You get it? Gradual process, you take them inside. What is the benefit of that? The benefit of that is whatsoever you put inside will never go out quickly. It will go out also gradually. Before it is completely out of you, you will realize that something, you are missing something, you will bring it back. But if you put it inside all together at once, they said, مَا دَخَلَ كُلُّهُ خَرَجَ كُلُّهُ. When it goes inside you at once, when it goes out also, it goes out completely. Then you have to do it again. Is that clear? Patience in this manner is necessary. So sometimes your impatience will lead you to get bored and not be able to succeed in the future. So I think inshallah is very, very clear what I said. So lastly is what I call commitment, ulul himma, high determination and commitment. You get it? High determination and commitment. You really need this to be committed to what you said. No skipping classes, whatever the case might be. Don't submit to sickness, injuries, weaknesses, weariness, sleep. No. Train yourself how to sleep a little and utilize the vast majority of your time. And make it like this, one of the impossible in your life to skip a class. Honestly speaking, the vast majority of our absentees to their classes could be avoided. But negligence, you get it? I let things being accumulated until they become so much, in such a way, I just have to skip some of the important classes to focus on these. So time management is important. When you manage your time properly, I can guarantee you, you have every day extra amount of time which is sufficiently enough for you to succeed in learning. Every day. It's about time management, I'm telling you. You have time. You do have a time. And the time is a lot. But the problem we have is how to manage that time properly. That's our problem. So you in the university, I will say to you, you do have a time. Especially those of you who are coming from outside. You get it? Even the locals, people who are from here, but you are left, your family members, you come to study in this desert. So it's just like those people who are coming from outside. The benefit of this is you are far away from disturbance. Your family are away from you. Nobody will disturb you. Nor being committed with the family, getting new job that can distract you. Nobody will interfere. You can study in the way you want. So your time is technically yours. How is it possible that you tell me that 24 hours is not enough for you? I'm telling you this. You sleep, you play games, you have a lot of things. You sit with the brothers and talk. You get it and chat between you and the good friend of yours. All of these time, if you put them all together, you categorize them properly. You get it, divide them accordingly. Take them and give the priority to those who deserve the priority. I'm telling you, you will be left with a lot of time which you don't know how, what to do with it. Is that clear? You should have a time for sleep. Even if you don't specify, but you have how much you should sleep in a day. The knowledge that you learn in dunya, after the classes, you don't need more than 1 to 2 hours. You don't need that. You don't need more than 1 to 2 hours. Let's say we take the average person who sleeps 8 hours in a day. Get it? Go and learn the lesson in a day. Let's say another 8 hours. How many classes you have in a day, usually? 2 classes in a day. How much they take? Each class, 10 hours. Every class, 2 hours, right? So 4 hours. Let us make it 5 hours. In a day, you have 5 hours. 5 plus 8. How many hours? 13. 2 more hours for revision. If you are smart student, because we don't revise, right? I don't know about Nottingham, but what I know in the universities in the world, even Jamiat al-Islamiyah in Medina, people revise their lessons the last night before the exams. But maybe you guys are so special. Allahu alam, right? You know yourself. But usually, but let's say you are special, you revise. You need 2 hours every day for your lessons to revise them. I give them 2 hours. Although I do believe that less than that is more than enough. But let's say 2 hours. That's 15 hours, right? How much left? These are the most important hours, right? Sleeping hour, this one you cannot skip it. Okay, how much time you need for eating? 2 hours or so to eat. Let us make it like that, right? 2 hours. But honestly speaking, I don't think you need more than 1 hour, right? 1 hour, put it 16 hours. How much left? 8 hours, right? These 8 hours, what do you do with it? This is in every place I'm telling you. Delay until the last minute. And then you will come and see the class is empty. Why? Students are busy. They have a lot of assignments. When did they get the assignment? Since the beginning of the year, some of them, right? So I'm just saying this. I just want you to be very smart in terms of time management, because time is one of the most important things a person should focus and pay attention on. Allah SWT says, "Well, asr." They say, "Waqtuka sayfi, illam taqta'hu yaqta'uk." And this is the only thing that when it passes, you cannot bring it back. When it passes, you cannot bring it back. And your life is going. The wisest person is somebody who utilizes every single second of his life. I don't mean in ibadat al-masjidiyah, you go to the masjid and worship Allah. No. I mean, you have every single second, there is something beneficial you're doing. Whether this thing is dunya or akhirah. So I just want to leave with you these 8 hours. These are more than enough to put your lessons, the Islamic lessons you are learning. You get it? Revise your Quran, memorize Quran and all of these things. Take some for playing games and all of this. You don't play 5 hours. You play, you get it? You play 1 hour, 2 hours, right? And then you get exhausted, right? At least you will have around 4 hours. This should be for the akhirah. And I'm telling you, if you have this, you will never skip an Islamic class wherever it is which you usually go in a day. You will go every day. We used to live with the people, they don't stop their lessons, their extra lessons during the exams. and they still maintain the same grade in the university. What happened? Everyone stopped his lessons and they got lower than them. And they don't stop anything and they still excel in the learning. So these are some of the adab of learning that I would like. There are many mentioned by the scholars, but these are the things that comes into my mind I'd like to remind you with. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you success. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help you to succeed in this learning and to be one of those who will convey the message of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the Ummah.